Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so let's just stop right there for a minute. Let every soul, and that is when it speaks of soul, I've read some commentaries that says it's specific to Christians. But since every human being has a soul, I got to believe that that's specific to every human being. Amen? And so let everyone be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So why did God create the government? Why did God put things in place? Well, I'll tell you, if you take away the governing authority, you bring chaos. Listen, we are looking at, this is not political. So I'm not talking about Democrats, I'm not talking about Republicans, I'm not talking about independents, I'm not talking about Christians. I am talking about the system, how God set it up, how it's working, what's going on, in respect of how man is to follow the government authorities. And of course, when we talk about government, there's two things in the world you never talk about when you're sitting at dinner with somebody. What are the two things? Politics and religion, right? Well, you come to church, we're talking about both because we're not at dinner. And so, because people are like, oh, I didn't go to church to hear about politics, or I don't want to I'll deal with politics, but I don't want to hear about religion. Well, guys, you really got to get an understanding of what God says about government, not politics. Government, how it's set up. Why is it set up? Well, I tell you, if you leave man up to himself, what happens? He has a reprobate mind. He's going to do some crazy things. And so God established the government. Now we say, oh, God put the president in place. No, God doesn't always establish the president. And you go, well, that's not what the Bible says. That's because you're not understanding what the Bible says. Here's what happens. The authorities, the government is put in place, and it was put in place, it was designed, the system, not the people in it, but the system that was set up for our good, for our protection, for to assemble orderly or to have order in society. And so when it says here, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, listen, you fall in line with government authorities because they are established to prevent chaos. Now, when the government fails to do its job, what do we have? Chaos, right? We have riots, people blocking highways. I mean, just straight out blocking highways with the government or the authorities standing there watching them and not moving them. Well, that's chaos. And so when the government fails to do its job that it was designed to do, we have chaos. And God says, listen, so that there's no chaos, because you're of reprobate minds, if you don't follow Christ and you do your own thing. And by the way, people get crazy, don't they? How many times have you said, I would never do that, and then 15 years later, you're doing it? It's because our mind, if we're not careful and we don't protect it, and we don't, the Bible says that you take captive ungodly thoughts. In other words, when you start thinking things that are not lining up with the Word of God, you take those thoughts captive and you do not allow them to have freedom to exercise them physically. You take those thoughts, you take them captive, you put them away. You lock them up, and you do not allow them to exercise activity when it's ungodly. And so when we talk about governing authorities, we are talking about the system, not the person. Okay? Huge to remember, because the truth is, we have some pretty ungodly people in office today. Amen? I mean, let's face it. There are some people who are pushing agendas that are absolutely ungodly agendas. We have, I love the fact that we have freedom of speech, but that freedom of speech has caused a lot of harm as well. How many have ever heard of Vogue magazine? How many have seen the recent issue with Vogue magazine that's come out? Anybody? I got one hand, two hands. Okay. Vogue magazine. Who is that targeting? Do you know? Young women. 13 to 18. Do you know what the latest issue came out with? Specific instructions on sodomy. Did you guys hear me? Who are we targeting? 13 to 18 year old young ladies. And the last issue that came out has specific instructions on sodomy. Pictures included. Now here's the crazy thing. Children you know are reading that, but only two people in this room knew about it. See how the devil's getting away from things? But authorities say that, hey, that's allowed. So what do we do? Freedom of speech. They have freedom of speech. What do? We have to take a stand. We always take a stand for what is godly and for what is right. So if you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it'll be up on the screen. If you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the other apostles, they were sharing the word of God. They were witnessing for Jesus, and they were arrested, and they were put in prison for it, and they were told, don't you ever go around telling people about this Jesus again. And so we'll let you go, and we'll let you go free as long as you promise to be silent. Well, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. If you look, can you bring up 5:28? Can you do that quickly? So in 5:28, I think it's 28, 27, somewhere around there, it even says that the authorities came to them and said, don't you speak of this again. The authorities, the governing authorities, and yet, right here in 28, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. And I mean, they're emphatic because us ends in what? Exclamation. And so they're emphatic about this. You intend to hold us guilty for this man's blood. Don't speak of his name again. We want to hide it all. What's in 29? Peter says, we're going to obey God rather than man. Well, what did God say? Matthew chapter 28. Don't bring it up, but for sake of discussion, Matthew chapter 28. Go into all the world, your town and everywhere else, and you tell them about Jesus. And so governing authority says, don't you dare speak about Jesus. So should they be quiet because the governing authority said to be quiet? No, you obey God rather than man. Now, with that being said, your intention is not to cause trouble, but your heart should be to stand for Jesus and not stand for the rebelliousness against God. There's your difference. Let me bring up, because I just want to show you some things here where you see that has happened, and I'm going to have to get rid of this thing because it needs my eyes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Hold on here. Okay, praise Jesus. I figured another way in. All right. So, right, never start new stuff the first time. It's a horrible place to be. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. In 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, it says this. You guys have it? There you go. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, to our governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so we're to honor the position. We are to respect the position. But it's very difficult to honor the person when they're just straight up ungodly. And so this passage, when it tells us to honor the king, it is to respect the position. But if the law says For example, and I'm going to use this as my example because it directly applies to me and nobody else in this room, I don't believe. The law says that I have to recognize same-sex marriage. And God says, what? No, it's not right. It's ungodly. It's wrong. Don't do it. So as the law is coming down, right now we're still protected. As a matter of fact, we are working diligently on some things that's going to protect the church even more. But the church or the law is going to come in and say, well, it's a hate crime if you don't do this. So do I marry same-sex couples because of the law says I have to, or do I not do it because God says it's wrong? Well, I'm going to choose to follow God rather than man. You see the difference there, guys? Listen, I respect the office. I respect what's going on. I respect that God put governing authorities in place to keep chaos from happening. But I cannot go against God simply because ungodly men said to do it. Do you see the difference here, guys? So when it says, oh, but the law says to do it and it's legal, let me tell you something. The law might make it legal, but it doesn't make it morally correct and it doesn't make it godly. And so just because the law says, hey, or a man comes up to me and says, you must do this or else we'll arrest you. Guys, if I'm forced between making a choice of doing a wedding between same-sex couples or going to jail, you get bail money ready or get ready to find another pastor because I'm not doing it. I could not do it. And so we're to honor the position. We are to submit to the position until the position forces us to go against God. And then we stop. I'll show you some more examples. In John 19:10. In John 19:10 it says, then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have, by the way, this is Jesus before Pilate, right before he's being crucified. He is the night before he is on trial, if you will, here. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Pilate says, Jesus, do you not understand that your life is in my hands? Do you not understand that I have the power to do whatever I want with you? Because Jesus isn't speaking to him, but then Jesus does. Look here. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. And he says, listen, you know what? You have power, but this power that you have, it's kind of gone to your head, buddy. And the only reason that you have that power is because my Father gave you the power because he created the position. He did not create the ungodliness in the person. Do you see the difference, guys? So when we're to follow the government, we have to be really careful of how that says and what it means because we don't have to follow them when they're immoral. We have to take a stand. And we see that Jesus takes the stand here. And he says, hey, just so you know, you're doing your job. I get it, because the ones who sent me to you, they're held guilty for the greater sin, because they delivered me to you rather than protecting me. And so we see there. And then I want you to look in Exodus 1:17. In Exodus 1:17, Pharaoh commanded the midwives, you kill every infant. By the way, this is the first government-supported parenthood, if you will. And it's here in Exodus. So just so you know, nothing new under the sun. This has been going on forever, right? So he orders the midwives, listen, you kill every infant, male infant. And the midwives, do they follow the government authority? No, look here, but the midwives, they what? They feared God. They feared God, and they said, you know what, listen, you're Pharaoh, but God's God. And we fear God more than we fear you, so we're going to follow God. And we're going to do what's right. They feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So you see, guys, listen, when God says, don't do it, and the law says, oh no, you must do it, who do we follow? We have to follow God. It's not, listen, it's not being rebellious, it's being holy. It's not going against the people, against your governing authorities. You're not rebelling, you're not stirring up problems, you're simply making a statement. Please stay seated. You're making a statement saying, listen, I'm not going to follow the king. I'm going to follow God. And so understand, when these authorities come in, they're put in to protect us. And when they fail to protect us and they start following being ungodly, we do not have to follow in those footsteps. Which that means, though, that you're looking at possibly being arrested. Which really is going to show how much you love God. Because at that point, you have to make a decision. Do I love God or do I fear man? Am I going to follow God or am I going to protect myself? Because that's really what it is. Do I trust God or do I bail on him? And the truth is, guys, if I refuse to do a same-sex wedding, and I go to jail, I could be forgotten about for several years. The system has a way of closing their eyes and turning their head. Am I ready to go and sit in a jail cell for several years to stand with God? And the truth is, no, I'm not ready, but I'm willing. Would I like it? Absolutely not. But I'm willing. Would I be happy about it? No. But I'm willing. Would I be irritated with God? Yes. I'm like, Lord, you got the key to this door. Open it up. But would I do it? Yeah, I'm willing. See, guys, we don't have to enjoy it, and we don't have to be woohoo! Yeah, I stood for God. I'm going to jail. I would be like, oh my goodness, right? But to God be the glory. I think of the lady, the clerk. She refused to hand out the license. Do you remember that? And so from three counties over, not even that same county, from three counties over, two men came over three counties, brought a news crew with them. Not to get a license, but to get her out. And what did she do? Did she give him a license? No. To God be the glory, here I stand behind bars. She got arrested. So, guys, I'm just telling you, when we look at this, we have to make a decision. These midwives said, King, you have the authority to behead us. But we're going to follow God. I want you to look in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3, 16 through 18, if I'm correct. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many remember them, right? How cool is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And they are supposed to bow down to the king's god. And they were like, we're not going to do that. No, we can't do that. And so some men went, look here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Listen, we know you're the king. We respect you as the king. But we will not bow down to your God because we have our own. If that is the case, our God whom we serve, because he's like, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. I will melt your hiney to nothing. Do you understand me? If that be the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Look at that. Man, our God is God. And whether he chooses to believe us, to deliver us or not. Look at this. He'll deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Look here in 18. But if not, if God chooses to say, let them burn. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods. See, this wasn't about Nebuchadnezzar and his position. This wasn't about rebelling against the government because we're being complicated. It wasn't about that. It was about, I have my God, the God of the universe, the God that created you and I, the God who established the government, that gave you your position. That God I will not betray and serve another God. And he says, we will not serve your gods, little g, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We're not going to do what you've asked us to do, because what you've asked us to do goes against our God, and we're not going to go against our God. Guys, are you seeing here, when we're talking about the government, this isn't rebelling against the government. This is standing for your God. And this is going to see, if you're ever put in the position, if you're ever put in a situation where you have to make this decision, your answer will reveal your relationship. You say, I love God, but you are willing to follow man and do the things of man rather than follow God. Your answer reveals your relationship. Do you understand that? So if you follow man, don't say you love God. You can't, because you've chosen who you're going to follow. Little g. Next. Now in Daniel, okay, so forget that. So at any rate, they go into the fiery furnace. Here's what happens. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, you know what? We're just not going to do it. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he gets mad. I mean, he's fired up, so to speak. No pun intended. Actually, it was intended. And so he's fired up, and he says, fire that furnace 7 times hotter than what we would normally do it. And they fired it up so hot that when they opened it up to throw the 3 men in, the guards died from the flames that came out. That's how hot they got it. And they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. And then all of a sudden they're like, what? Hold it. Stop the music. Didn't we put 3 men in there? Yes, King. And why do I see 4? Because they serve their God. They don't serve you. They follow their God. They don't follow these images of gods, little g. And he's saving them. They come out, and the Bible says that they did not even have the smell of smoke on them. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I've been around fire, I kind of smell like smoke. Amen? They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. We know that they all had hair, because it said their hair was not even singed. And they walk out. 1, 2, 3. God delivered them. But had God not delivered them, they still were not going to serve any other God but their God, the God that created the universe. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel says, you know what? I'm not going to serve any other God. And so the men that were under the king, they were looking for a way, because the king loved Daniel. We find as we read through that the king loved Daniel. And Daniel was supposed to, when the sound went off, Daniel was supposed to stop everything, and he was supposed to pray to this image. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. Look here in 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. What writing? The writing that said, when you hear the music go off in town, you bow down to my image. Because if you don't bow down to my image, it'll cost you your life. Daniel, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with windows open toward Jerusalem, I am not hiding that I love my Lord. I am not hiding that I will serve my Lord. I am not hiding that I will pray to my Lord. The windows. Okay, just for a moment, just stop and take this in. Do you guys realize that when he opened those windows, he didn't get behind something. Okay, pray. Dear God, thank you. Amen. He didn't do that, man. He put the windows open. And he stood there like he always stands there. And he prayed to his mighty God. Because that's what he always did. That's what he always does. Look here. The window is wide open. He knelt down on his knees 3 times. 1, here I am, world. 2, here I am, world. 3, here I am. He wasn't hiding, guys. He was not. Listen, some of us, we hide from our God because man threatens us. Daniel's like, I'm not hiding. Man, I'm worshiping my God because my God is worthy to be worshiped. And look what he says here. In the upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down. By the way, the upper room means that he's on the top floor. Got it? He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day. Why would he do it that day? Was he rebelling against the king? No, he wasn't rebelling against the king. He was doing what he always does. See, some would say that day he went home and he had a bad heart. He knew that it was going to incite them. Why didn't he just close the doors and do it in private? Because he never closed the doors and did it in private. Well, why did he have to do it the same day? Because every day he spent time with God. Daniel wasn't inciting the government. Daniel was doing what Daniel always does, and they knew it. That day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, capital G, as was his custom since years before. That's the early days. Literally means most of his life. He wasn't inciting a riot. He just wasn't going against God to follow man. Guys, when we talk about following the government, we really have to understand we're not following the man in the position, but we do respect the position. Do you see the difference? And so I believe there's 6:11 as well, correct? Okay, if it's not there, don't worry about it. It just could be me. Then these men assembled, found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. So here's what they did. These men found him. Why? They were looking for him. They wanted to catch him. And then they turned him over to King Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, this man, right after you established this authority, and by the way, king, you can't take this back, right? And the king goes, nope, I've already established it. He felt tricked, by the way, and because he loved Daniel. He's like, well, we found Daniel praying, and so now you got to kill him just like you said would happen. And he had no choice but to kill Daniel. And many of us know the event that happened after that. He threw him in the lion's den. But I love what happens. He throws him in the lion's den. But the king, he says, Daniel, don't worry. Your God, I love this. Your God will save you. He's not even a believer. But Daniel stood so strong on his God that the king knew his God would deliver him. And the king goes back to his quarters. It says that he went back to the quarters and he couldn't sleep all night. Worrying about Daniel. This is how much he loved Daniel. But the king had to do what he had to do or else his whole position, his authority would have been challenged. And so the king couldn't do that. And it says that the king rose up early the next morning and ran down to the lion's den. And what did he find? Daniel using the lions as a pillow, patting their mane, going, good boys. Oh, I hope you slept as good as I did. Oh. And the king says, Daniel, did your God deliver you? And Daniel says, long live the king. And then the king says, hey, you guys who set him up and who set me up, guards, take them and throw them in the den and see if their God saves them. And guess what happens? Before they hit the ground, they were dead. The lions consumed them. So see, guys, when we're talking and we see all these examples and we see that, listen, God established the government, and the reason he established the government was for us. To keep evil out, to protect us. The problem is the government went evil. The problem is the government went crooked. The problem is, and I don't give a rip what party you're in or what party you believe, because the truth is they're all one party. They just paint themselves different colors when they need that color. There's not any difference between these people. And so what do we do? Do we follow God or do we follow man? That's going to become the question. James 4:17 says this. And I want you to see this. James 4:17. Therefore, are you guys ready? Look up here. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? If you read it before and it's talking about sin and the punishments of sin and being unstable and all this other stuff, as you start in James 1, you got to start in James 1 to really get the whole context of this verse. Therefore, because everything I just said literally is what it means. Therefore, to him who knows to do what is right. That's literally what that good means. To him that knows to do what is right and does not do it, to that person it will be held against them. By whom? God. So guys, when we look at this and we look at sin, and by the way, listen, sin is sin. Sin simply means that you've done wrong. It's not attacking your character. It's not attacking your integrity. It's not attacking who you are. It simply means you have done wrong in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of man, because man says, hey, whatever's right for you, do it. It's okay, right? God says, no, no. It's not okay. And so James says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to you it will be held against you. To you it is sin. To you, you will be held responsible. Oh, there's a word we don't like. Responsible? What do you mean? That's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. No, you will be responsible. I want you to go back here to Romans chapter 13, and then we'll finish reading it. I know, right? One verse, and it's like, whoo, here we go. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment to themselves. Here's what this literally means. You resist, listen, if you resist the authority, not when the authority is being ungodly, because we've already established that we have to be godly no matter what the authority does. But if you break the law, this is all this verse means. If you break the law, then you will be held accountable. You pay the fine. You listen, if you get a speeding ticket doing 90 and a 55, don't get shocked. Pay the fine. Pray for grace. And if grace isn't there, ask God to show up. Some of you will get that by the time you get home. Look here in verse 3. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. See, this was supposed to be their job. Their job was supposed to put out evil. It was supposed to control evil and not allow it to reign. And unfortunately, evil is reigning now instead of good in our society. I'm not bashing the government. I'm simply making a statement, guys. Look, pay attention, read the news. What used to be wrong is now right, and what used to be right is now wrong. And we wonder why our kids have issues. Because parents aren't showing the difference anymore. Oh, they're good. It's okay. It's acceptable now in society. So? Look here. So verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for, what is the next word? Good. See, they are supposed to be doing good. If they're not doing good, then they're doing evil, right? I mean, come on. It's one or the other. There is no in between. Listen, there is no neutral. If you're not moving forward, you're backing up. Water that quits moving does what? It gets stagnant, and then things die. It's just life. There is no neutral. We can't, listen, if you are riding the fence, if you're saying, well, I'm going to be part of the world and I'm going to be part of the church, so I'm going to kind of stand right here because this is a good, neutral place and everybody will love me. God says, everybody might love you, but I will throw you up. I will vomit you out of my mouth. The government, if they're not being good and they're not for our good, they're for evil, and therefore we cannot. And I'm not telling you to rebel against the government. I'm telling you to stand for God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Don't walk out of here going, whoo, let's get together a group and go against the government because pastor said so. No, pastor did not. Pastor simply said, if you are put in a position to make a decision for evil or for God, you better make the decision for God. Doesn't matter who requires it from you. Amen? All right. I'll hold you to that amen. So in 4 he says, for he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So do you see what the government is supposed to be doing? God says, if someone commits murder, not kill somebody. There's a difference between killing somebody and committing murder. Somebody say amen. Listen, if I have somebody break into my house and want to do harm to my wife, to my kids, or to myself, if I have no choice, they're not leaving. I mean, they'll leave, but they're gonna need somebody to carry them out. I'm protecting my family. Completely legal and okay. If I go out on the street, though, or let's just reverse the role, I'm breaking into a house to kill somebody. That's murder. And God says that if somebody murders, send them to me. If you shed blood, innocent blood, then your blood should be shed. Well, what's happened? We quit doing capital punishment. Why? Because somebody got a bright idea that wasn't good. They deserve another chance. Their heart is good. They killed somebody. Their heart is not good. And then they put them in jail, and then they let them out. And when they let them out, then they go out and they do what? They kill somebody again. And we're shocked. Like, I can't believe that happened. If you'd have done what God said, there wouldn't have been no innocent life taken again. If the government was doing its job, first off, these jails wouldn't be full. Because there would be people going, they mean business, and I'm not going to do that. There's a difference. And so he says here in 5, therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Listen, if you're, now he's talking to the Christian, that conscience sake. Listen, if you're a Christian, you know to do right. You know to subject yourself to the governing authorities until the governing authorities are evil. Then you don't subject yourself, you take your stand for God. For conscience sake, because your conscience will destroy you. Somebody say amen, it's called guilt, right? You walk around, how many have walked around and said, I can't forgive myself, I feel so, you carry this guilt. That's that conscience sake that he's talking about. So he goes on. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. You are to pay taxes. That's the most depressing part about the whole sermon. I wanted to skip that verse so I could claim ignorance, but God wouldn't allow me. We're to pay taxes. Why? Because the people that God, the system that God established, they need to be paid for their work. Just like a minister in a church needs to be paid for his work. It's so funny because people will come to me all the time. You should do this for free. You should do it because you love God. No, I should poke you in the eye. Right? And then I'll ask them, okay, so let me ask you this. Let's reverse the role. And you do 40, 60, 80 hours a week helping people, setting things up, serving people, doing this, doing that, so on and so on. And I want you to do it for free. And keep your job, too, because they tell me I need to get a real job. And all of a sudden, they're like, I ain't going to do that. Oh, but you expect me to do that. Well, if we expect our governing authorities to do their job, we expect our governing authorities to do their job well, and we want them to do good, obviously, so they need to be paid. Now, we can throw it in there that they're evil, they're twisted, we get all that, but the bottom line is they do need to be paid. I do think our government, though, needs to go in and kind of clean house and get rid of jobs that's not needed. I think that they should take, this is my opinion, they should take East Greenbush, North Greenbush, and make it Greenbush, and get rid of half the governing authorities that govern both towns because it's not needed. I think that we could take a whole bunch of towns and make them one and get rid of all these paying positions that don't need to be paid, would save us millions and millions of dollars in taxes and still get the same stuff accomplished. But that's just my opinion. At any rate, they need to get paid. so we're to pay taxes. The problem is, though, when it's evil, taxes go up because we're paying for all this stuff that go against God. Let's pay to kill babies. Let's pay so that this man who feels like a woman can now have their surgery to become a woman. Do you realize your tax dollars pay for that? I don't know if you know that. But if somebody needs this, the government says, we'll pay for it. New York says, it's covered. Go get whatever you need. And we'll take care of all your drugs to keep you sane while you go through the process. It's really hard to pay your taxes when you know all that's going on, right? But that's where we got to trust God and let him deal with that. And we just do what's right. Amen? So then he goes on in verse 7. Render therefore to all that is due taxes whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to honor. And literally what he's saying is, listen, you respect those that the respect is due. Now, a lot of times the only thing we can respect is the office. How many have ever served in the military? God bless you. Thank you so much for your service. And so there may have been some officers in the military that have walked by and you go, man, you guys are absolute trash. But you salute them. Right? Why do you salute them? Because of their position. Because of the office. Because of the uniform. Not because of the integrity of the person. You have to be respectful. Until they require you to go against your God. That's what that whole passage is about, guys. Listen, like it or not, heavy load, depressing sermon today, whatever you want to call it. It didn't get depressing for me until it said pay your taxes. And I'm like, because every time I turn around, there's more and more, right? It's like they want more here, more there. And I'm like, oh, I don't have nothing for me. Okay, here, there you go. We respect our government. We respect the position. But if they ask you to go against your God, you say no. No. You take the name Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. No. I'm going to honor my God at any price. I'm going to honor my God. Your decision to follow God or to follow the government will determine your relationship. And I'm going to venture to say, if you follow man, you don't have a relationship with God. And you go, that's unfair. No, it's not. I think it's very fair. So as we look at Romans, next week we're going to talk about love. That'll help ease the pain of government and taxes. Amen. Guys, it really comes down to God established the government to keep chaos from happening within our culture, within our society. When our government collapses, then civil actions collapse and chaos starts happening, and then we have problems. When our government requires of us to be sinful, we say no. We'll be godly. Be willing to pay the price because the day is coming where you're going to have to make a decision. Never thought I'd see it in America. But it's on its way, amen? What are you going to do? Who are you going to serve? That's the question. Well, it's kind of hard to serve God if you don't know Jesus, amen? So today I want to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to take much time, but I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Jesus. Because the truth is, guys, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you're going to follow the government. You're going to follow man. You're going to follow the things of this world. You're not going to follow God. You're going to have no interest in God. And you're not going to go to heaven, which means then you go to hell. It's just kind of one of those things, right? So how do we get to heaven? How do we follow God? That's the question. How do we make those decisions to follow the things of God rather than the things of man. Well, you need to have God living in you through via the Holy Spirit. How do we make that happen? I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to give you this opportunity. If you're here today, and I were to ask the question, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? And inside, and you know the answer, inside you struggle or you say, well, I hope so. Or you might even say yes. And then I would ask why, and you would say, because I'm a good person. Well, according to the Bible, that's not going to get you to heaven. According to the Word of God, it says you need Jesus as your Savior, which means that you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That you believe that He was buried and that he rose on the third day and that He's at the right hand of the Father. The Bible doesn't say we have to understand it all. The Bible says that we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, but you've never received Him as your Savior, then I want to give you this opportunity. Quietly in your heart, you pray this prayer. And mind you, the words don't save you. It's, do you believe the words that you're about to pray? That is what saves you. The words are just a roadmap. This prayer is just to kind of guide you through so you have an understanding and that you also have a time stamp where you say, nope, this was the day that I gave my life to Christ. Pray this quietly in your heart. If you believe it, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior. Dear Jesus, today I surrender. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you shed your blood that I might have life and have life everlasting. I believe that you conquered death and hell. And I believe you're at the right hand of the Father. And so today I surrender. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. And I know that by giving my life to you, you promise me eternal life. Thank you. Father in heaven, thank you for giving me your Son. That by choosing Him, I choose life. That by believing on Him, I receive the Holy Spirit and I have eternal life.